This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X 107.5.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. It's starting a little cooler outside. Everyone here's got their jackets and their long sleeves, except for Mahoney, who's still rocking his Tommy Bahama shirt exclusively.
The endless summer of Bahama too, Dave.
Do you ever get cold?
About December. I'll switch out to hoodies. Like December to like February.
Yeah.
I'll start going hoodies.
It's got that natural layering, you know?
Yeah, I guess. I feel like you're just one of those kids who also wore flip-flops in the wintertime to like be like, I'm tough or whatever reason was. Like, why do kids wear flip-flops and shorts in the snow?
I am a wimp when it comes to my feet.
Good question.
Like, I got to wear, like even wearing just, like, old-school original Chucks, I can't do anymore. I have to wear ones that have, like...
The extra padding?
The extra padding, yeah. The extra sole insert. Like, I got to have that. Or if I know I'm going to be walking a lot, I got to wear straight-up old man walking shoes, which, shout out, which I don't like that.
Shout out. The shout out to what, Brooks?
The Brooks are the greatest. Like, if you've never owned a pair of Brooks Beasts, they are the greatest shoes I've ever owned.
And if you're below 65 years old and your name's not Mahoney, you probably haven't.
I use them for running.
You have?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I have the Brooks running shoes. They're great.
Well, Brooks running shoes are different than the Brooks Beasts,
no,
right?
No, but the Brooks Beasts are for, like, people who run... Far.
The extra cushion.
Yeah, you're running
Or in your case, walking long distances.
That's right. That's right.
All over Disney.
But have you noticed that the old man, the white Nikes, the dad Nikes?
Yeah.
Like the hipsters.
The ones that you cut the lawn in?
Yeah.
The hipsters are trying to bring them back.
Oh, they're selling like back, crazy. Yeah, and it's just like, God, you're so stupid.
The Fila Dino Stompers.
Oh, God, those things are so ugly. Although I did see a toddler version of those the other day when I was shoe shopping with my kids. I'm like,
those are
pretty cute.
Mm-hmm. So some good news and some bad news to get things going today. What would you like first?
Dave, why don't we start today's show off with some bad news?
Incident happened, and this is every knitter's nightmare, they say.
Knitter?
Yeah, knitter. Bizarre crime.
There's more than one?
Yeah, San Francisco car theft standards. Started last Saturday, a owner of Anzula Luxury Fibers, which at first I thought was just a fancy way to help you poop. No, it's it's fabric. She approached her vehicle, looked down to the pavement, glass everywhere. Turns out her yarn had been stolen out of her car. $15,000 worth of yarn. She just loaded up a whole bunch into a duffel bag and put it in her vehicle. And she said, there's no way I can replace it. This is a complete loss, which is... incorrect. You could replace it with about $15,000 or by finding it. She also said that her laptop, her square reader, and her kit holding swatches of yarn and color samples for her show to prospective buyers were also missing. She assumes the yarn will end up dumped in an alley, and she said that her insurance is only going to cover $250 worth of stolen items.
Well, first off, why do you have such bootleg cut-rate insurance? It's it's San Francisco, which you know is a hotbed for cars getting broken into.
2,063 vehicles were reported broken into in San Francisco in September alone, 68 per day.
Don't leave your stuff in plain sight. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's a bag of any sort, somebody's going to break into your car and take it. Leave it in your trunk or take it with you if it's $15,000 worth of yarn. Also, $15,000 worth of yarn should not fit in a duffel bag.
That's what I'm
right?
saying.
That's like
you
$15
got ripped off,
worth of yarn should probably fill a duffel bag.
I mean, that has to be yarn laced with gold.
This sounds like
a scam.
It sort of sounds like a GoFundMe scam, doesn't it? Like she takes this to the news and she says, my yarn has been stolen.
But should you have, like, if this is your business?
I don't have an appreciation.
Like,
yarn.
You own a business?
Yep.
Do you not have insurance for all of your...
No, I like to ride dirty. Yeah.
All your equipment and the things that you have
for your
business. Of course,
man, yes. And
yeah.
Most of the partners that you work with require that you have insurance and
like
everything else.
Like $1 million worth of, like, liability insurance.
More than that, actually, yeah.
And you want to have your own stuff. I don't even have a business, and all of my equipment is covered. Which I've debated canceling a couple of times, but I'm like, as soon as I cancel, it's going to get stolen.
So some good news today as well. A post office employee found two missing children.
What?
A post office employee?
Those exist?
Yep. Yeah, the people that bring mail.
Do they still?
Yeah, they come to your house every day.
The people who bring me all those bills and those fake letters and the
coupons,
the grocery store things that I'm never going to read ever
that
in
you
my
never,
time.
Ever, ever look at.
Not once.
What a waste of paper.
Not once.
But this particular post office employee found two missing kids in 2 weeks, not related.
Well, maybe we should move her from being a post office employee to like a child finder. Seems like that
child
would be...
Child finder, a detective. Yeah,
just be a child finder.
Right? Like how many detectives who are child finders have ever even found a kid?
That's right.
She's not even trying. She found two. In two weeks' time. They have no connection to each other. The first was a 15-year-old girl that has autism. Her name is Abby, and she was reported missing in the evening of April 18th. Thomas was approached by police during her shift the next day asking if she'd seen her in the area. On the afternoon of April 20th, she noticed Abby not too far away from the designated stop for mail delivery. She immediately called 911 to report that she'd found Abby. A couple of weeks later, in late April, she spotted another child who appeared to be alone. This girl was just 3 years old, didn't speak English. After 15 minutes of waiting with the child and not finding any parents around, called 911 again to report the child. She stayed with her until her mom finally arrived. She said, quote, I had training in behavioral health and working with children on the spectrum. It helped me know what to do in this situation. She received two awards for her action and was pinned by the National Association of Letter Carriers and presented with a plaque.
Very nice.
And I bet it was a wooden plaque, right? Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
The
gold lettering and the black plaque.
It just says, good job with the star.
Do you think it's in the shape of a mailbox?
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know. But good for her. That is a great story. It's just, you know, I think her talents could be used elsewhere.
I mean, that's kind of a low blow to mail carriers, man. They're hardworking individuals.
Let's just go eco-friendly.
Brave the elements.
Just email. Man, my mail carrier doesn't even get out of their car. They don't even drive a mail truck. It's a minivan. They don't get out. They just basically just throw the letters at the group mailbox.
You have a bootleg mail person driving a minivan?
Yes. Like the guys who are out there, like when I grew up, there was like they would get out in the snow and they would walk. But my guy doesn't even get out of the minivan.
That's because he knows there's a bunch of unappreciative a-holes like you that are grumpy and not going to tip them at Christmas time.
You tip your dudes during Christmas?
Yeah.
Oh.
You don't?
Ian, do you tip your dude during Christmas?
Yeah, always. It's America.
I never even see my dude. I've never seen him one time. Never once have I seen my mail carrier.
You don't know exactly the time that your mail comes every day?
Nope.
Do you?
It's like 3.
I do too, yeah. It's
yeah.
3 o'clock.
I've never seen
And we cross paths regularly.
My guy.
Give each other the old nod.
Do you?
So.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. If it was a guy.
Christmas coming.
Christmas coming up. You better get that mail in mailbox one first, buddy. Come on now.
Oh, dang. I feel like a little.
No, I don't win because it's. Not the door-to-door guy. The door-to-door mailman, like back in the day, we always did. But, like, it's so impersonal. I don't know who they are. They've never once said hello.
Never said howdy.
Because you refuse to go over and talk to him because he's in a minivan.
Get a real mail truck.
That's really hurtful, man.
Dollar Loan Center presents X107.5's Holiday Havoc. Featured artist, Judah and the Lion.
Doesn't wear the shorts. Doesn't even wear the uniform. Just in, like, street clothes.
I think you're getting robbed.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Mahoney, you convinced me to use baby wipes. Now I'm convincing you to go with biscuits and gravy, homemade maple-flavored sausage, and... Pillsbury Doughboy flaky biscuits and get that plus Pinky Blinders. Huh? Season 5. Yeah. Get it.
Message deleted.
First off, watch season 5 of Pinky Blinders the day it came out. Whole thing.
That got real sexy there, didn't it?
Cillian Murphy. Audrey, do you find Cillian Murphy to be an attractive man? Do you know who that is?
Give me a second.
He was the Scarecrow in the Batman movies. He was the lead guy.
Kind of in like a gross, creepy, like icky way. Yeah, no, like, I mean, he's a good looking guy, but in a very like, what would you do to me when I'm sleeping? Like, would you stand over my bed and watch me sleep kind of way?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, something weird like with his eyes. I don't know. It's just.
Very, very angular face.
Yeah.
But it's because he's thin and in shape and.
Not. We can't relate to that.
Yeah. Also, I know I turned you on to the baby wipes, but let me blow your mind. Because my mind was blown the other day by our friend Joey the Leprechaun, who works here at the radio station. Dave and I were outside having a conversation. Joey comes up and he's like, Mahoney, I have a bidet at my house. Straight flexing on me like that. He knows all I want is a bidet at my house.
10, 10, 10, 10.
And I go, well, it's expensive to install like a power outlet behind my toilet because I don't have power back there. And my wife,
most people don't. Yeah,
my wife's not okay with me running a 40-foot extension cord,
like a bright orange extension cord down the hallway.
Yeah, she's not okay with that. But they now have battery-powered bidets, so you don't even have to install.
So little Joey's got a battery-powered bidet.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He's living that bidet life.
And she just got this kissy cup.
I am pretty sure when Outkast wrote the song So Fresh and So Clean, it was about bidets. I don't have any proof, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Yes, it's like a kiss from Poseidon.
King Triton.
That's right.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So when I was in high school, I had a thing where I just didn't like to wear shoes. It's just a thing I did when I was a teenager. Well, I also did tech theater, and when I was backstage one time, I was just walking, wasn't running, wasn't being irresponsible, just walking. I fell right onto my butt, and my foot went right into the wall, and I stubbed my toe. Probably the worst I've ever had, but, you know, I was like a teenager. It's like, cool, so I was like, oh, no, I'm totally fine. Later that night, my toenail fell off.
Message deleted.
You guys ever had a toenail fall off?
Yeah.
Ah,
wearing cleats too tight.
Really?
Playing soccer.
Don't ever kick a tree.
What? Of course not. What did a tree ever do to you? Why'd you kick a tree?
Stalk of trash, man.
They dated for a while.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I wouldn't be.
Dave, I get it. You are a man of 100 jobs when you get off of work from the morning show. I get it. But Dave and Ian, I got a question for you guys. Has Mahoney ever invited either one of you guys out for a bang-bang? I mean, he always invites Bossy Rossi, but has he ever extended the invite out to you guys?
Message deleted.
Oh, he'll straight up invite Bossy Rossi out for a bang-bang right in front of me, like I'm not even in the room.
Yep.
And he is wise to do that because I don't want to go on his stupid bang-bangs with him. I don't have time for that, man.
Dave doesn't like lunch.
I just don't like lunch.
Oh, I don't like lunch.
Who doesn't like lunch? Well, you do eat a nice breakfast every morning.
I have a little breakfast bowl that I bring with me. But lunch, like food in general for me, I don't have the same level of love for it that Mahoney does. Like I eat.
We commiserate over lunch. That's why we're such...
You and Bossy Rossi, that's why both of you are in such good moods all the time.
That's right.
Yeah.
We are rays of sunshine filled with hamburger.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
I invite both of you. I would invite Audrey, but she's doing the show after our show, so she can't.
Yeah. You can invite me all you want. It's going to be a hard pass.
Uh-huh. Too good for us.
No, I got stuff to do, man.
Oh, okay.
It's the middle of the day. I don't have 3 hours to burn, you bums.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So there is a AI expert who says that within the next 10 years, all phones will be gone because voice AI systems will be everywhere. And as a result, no more personal phones will be necessary. Everything will be operated like Alexa.
10 years is no time at all.
It's no time at all. And also garbage. Like, the majority of what you use your phone for is privately creeping on people and privately messaging people, right?
And surfing the web.
Right.
And surfing Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and your social media.
Privately.
Like, when we look at our phones.
Think how much your behavior would change on all of those platforms if everyone was able to see all of your activity.
And we didn't even talk about the... Okay, so those are the things that we use our phone for, but also, primarily, our phone is our camera.
Yeah.
You know, it is a camera with a computer attached to it.
Yeah.
That's essentially, that's all the new features. They're like, look at how good this new camera is, because we're all so self-obsessed and self-absorbed that we need the best possible quality photo of ourselves.
Selfies.
Yes. Yeah. Like that's, remember there was a trend with phones. Like they started off really big when we had the Zach Morris phone. You had those bag phones back in the like 80s, early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was the race to see who could get the smallest phone. And the moment we could start taking pictures of ourselves, now we can't have phones big enough.
People bring iPads to concerts. It's literally like carrying a computer monitor with you to a show.
You are an ass clown if you are filming on an iPad at a concert.
I'm going to take that a step further. If you're filming at a concert for extended periods of time, what are you doing? You will never go back and watch that.
Not only that, nobody on your stories anywhere wants to watch
no one
the
ever.
2 minute long version of the crappy audio from the concert you went to. Enjoy the show.
Also, we can tell how bad your seats are.
Exactly. No matter how far you zoom in, I'm sorry.
No, and there is no time in my life that I am exerting more energy is than when I see like 48 dashes on Snapchat or Instagram or Facebook. And I'm just. Oh, no. Bam! Woo. And I'm done. Woo. I need a cigarette.
So a man that grew boobs from taking a drug that was manufactured by Johnson & Johnson has gotten an $8 billion payout.
Well,
$8 billion
that's
in
right,
punitive
Dave.
Damages.
B for boobs. That's right. Not millions. B for billions.
Nicholas Murray, now just 26 years old, pretty good get for him, claimed in a suit that he developed breasts after doctors prescribed him with some off-label drug in 2003 after a psychologist diagnosed him on the autism spectrum. And his award is the largest to date among the 13,000 lawsuits against the company claiming Risperdal, I think is how you say it, caused a condition in which boys grew breasts. And this kid, who's, again, now 26 years old, just got awarded $8 billion.
What is it jam-packed with estrogen? Like, I'm so confused. What, Risperdal? Like, what is
it? Should call it Breastfordal.
Breastforall.
Breastforall.
I don't think he'll get the $8 billion, but it certainly sets a precedent moving forward. I don't know if you've seen, like, man, Johnson & Johnson has been getting hit left and right with lawsuits, which is kind of scary. It's like, do you ever watch the news or you see those, like, did you ever take any of these drugs? And you're like,
did you say the latest one was Zantac?
What is Zantac?
Zantac's the heartburn medication.
I've never even heard of it.
You never heard of Zantac?
Nah.
I've heard of it.
Tums?
It's essentially just juiced up Tums.
Okay.
But now there's
Zantac. Is that the purple pill?
I think so, actually.
I think that's for herpes.
Oh, boy.
That's
for purple dinosaurs.
The pill bottles are getting confused.
that's for purple dinosaurs to get erections.
That's not for heartburn. That's for a different kind of burn.
Uh-huh. When Barney's been fooling around. Yeah.
No, but the Zantac, very common heartburn medication that they sell at every, you know, CVS and Walgreens and everything else across the country. Now that's linked to cancer.
But isn't everything linked to cancer
Absolutely.
In some way?
Absolutely, everything is linked to cancer.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Cell phones, apparently, microwaves, deodorant.
I mean, microwaves have got to be terrible for us,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, they're bad.
Got to be terrible.
So bad for us.
Not that I would ever stop using it because just so convenient. But, I mean, you think you put something in that's freezing cold, literally frozen, and 90 seconds later it's scalding hot. You're like, nah, I mean, I'm not good at science, but this seems weird. This doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
But, you know, if you're just, depends on where you're taking it off. Like, I mean, are you taking those off the bad years? Like, I don't need to be 98 years old. Like, there's nothing good that's going to come from me living 98 years.
We were just talking yesterday about how all the old guys at the nursing homes are getting all the loving.
No, man, no.
Would you feel like you scored if you hooked up with like an 82-year-old when you're 98 and you're like, man, I look at me over here robbing the cradle.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Help my hips out of the socket. Little help.
Coming back in.
Dave Farah and the fake morning shoes. Wait, fake morning. Dave Farah and the fake news morning show.
You know you're putting fake news out there.
Fake news.
Fake news.
Fake news.
I'm a liar. Yeah, I'm a liar.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show presents Fake News Farah.
Jeff is joining us this morning here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. How's it going, Jeff?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Good. You pretty good at spotting fake news?
I don't know.
It's time to find out. I've got three stories.
I've never had to do it before.
I've got the three stories for you today, and they all sound like they're fake, but they're not. Two of them absolutely real. Only one of them is fake news. Your job is to figure out which one is the fake news, and you can get help from Mahoney and Audrey. They have no idea which one is the fake news today.
Jeff, I'm terrible at this, so
Well, luckily, I'm here to help, and I'm and Dave is a well-known mouthpiece for any dictator who's willing to spend the money. He'll put out whatever you put in front of him. He is basically an evil Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, I mean, you give him $50, and I'm like, yeah, the NBA shouldn't be speaking out about the protests in Hong Kong.
$50?
$50. I mean, 25 if you have it on you.
Well.
If it's cash, I'll take 25. I mean, $20 is good. I don't need the five.
He'll do a little dance for you as well.
That's right. All right, here we go, Jeff. Story number one. A Florida man gets arrested for a DUI while a lemur and a wallaby escaped from his truck during a traffic stop. It's a lot to unpack here. A Florida man was arrested after a brief pursuit involving a truck. The truck was driven by Shane Taylor. He was wanted as a result of an earlier accident in which the truck fled the scene. By the end of the evening, three people had said, yeah, that's the guy that hit our vehicles. In the incident, which was captured on police dash cam video, the footage, you can see the truck and the trailer swerving wildly with sparks flying as the truck eventually pulls over after a brief chase. The officers found a ring-tailed lemur in the vehicle initially, and then it escaped, so they had to chase it. In addition to possibly being drunk, the crowd also included a wallaby, a tortoise, and a handful of sheep that were also in the truck and trailer, thankfully unharmed during the wild ride. Whew.
Don't want to see a rogue wallaby get hurt in an accident, that's for sure.
He was arrested and taken to jail. The animals were all cooked up for a police barbecue. No, I'm kidding about that part. But what do they do?
Are you kidding?
Am I? No, what do you do with the animals? Like if somebody gets arrested and they're driving around a bunch of wallabies,
sanctuary.
Lemurs. Yeah, is there a place?
A sanctuary, okay. Right?
Set them free.
Yes.
Free William. Go live in the forest.
Did you say
Free
William?
Free William?
Yeah.
Is that the lemur's name?
I'm Free Bill.
Free Willie E-M.
Free Willie Them. Yes,
M.
You just shortened it. All right, got it. A Central Florida man is accused of hiding his legless fugitive girlfriend from police by stuffing her into a plastic container.
No.
48-year-old John Robert Carr Jr. of Winter Haven is charged with resisting arrest. News outlets show that he attempted to hide his 39-year-old girlfriend, Crystal Lee Anderson, from U.S. Marshals and the deputies. She is wanted for failing to appear in court on charges including false imprisonment related to a 2015 incident where she allegedly held people hostage at a Burger King with a BB gun. Authorities received a tip that Anderson was with Carr. He denied Anderson was there, but an officer spotted the now 4-foot-tall woman who is legless inside of the container. She surrendered without the incident. Go figure.
So did you say she failed to show up in court for false imprisonment? Isn't that something that you sue for?
No. So she held up a Burger King in 2015 with a BB gun, and she was basically kidnapping the people there. That's the false imprisonment, is that she was not allowing the people to leave.
Oh,
and that's what she got in trouble for, if that makes sense.
Like, was she in a wheelchair? Was she on crutches?
No, he put her in a plastic container to
hide
her from
the
cops.
She was robbing the Burger King, that's what I want to know.
Oh, yeah.
Or was this pre-leg
accident? It was pre-legs getting lost. She actually lost the legs as a result of the Burger King incident.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's a rough day. It's a rough day. Final story for you. A Florida fisherman lost at sea for 14 days, claims that he was assaulted by mermaids. A fisherman lost at sea for 14 days off the coast of Florida has been rescued by the Coast Guard. Alvin McAllister, 72, was found in a small rocky inlet off the coastline where he shipwrecked 2 weeks earlier, managed to survive off several seagulls, mussels, and sea urchins. McAllister, who doctors said they actually don't fear for his life, was found suffering from intense hallucinations, possibly because of the dehydration and toxins in the unidentified mussels that he consumed on the island. He described in very graphic detail how he is forced to perform acts on the fish-like aquatic creatures, not only to the women mermaids, but also to the male mermen?
Mermen.
I'm a merman.
McAllister's brother.
They don't wear the white shirts and ride the bikes, though.
Was crying while he was talking about how grateful he was to find his brother alive, but was very upset that he had to perform all of these acts on the mermaids and the mermen.
Okay.
His mental state presently a little unstable. Doctors believe that he should be fine within the course
of
a couple of weeks.
Could you imagine having to eat seagulls?
He was eating some seagulls?
And mermaids.
I thought that it was mussels and sea urchins. I didn't hear the gulls. Dang.
Yeah.
All
right.
That'd be terrible.
So, Jeff, of those three stories, the DUI with the lemur, the wallaby, the tortoises, and the sheep, the Florida man hiding his legless girlfriend in a plastic container from the cops, and the 72-year-old that had to get down and dirty with some mermaids and mermen while stuck on this island for 2 weeks, only one of those, shockingly, is fake.
That's tough. Can I get some help? Mahoney, what you got?
I've seen crazier things happen at a Burger King than a legless woman rob it. And I've heard crazier stories. That one's coming to us out of Florida. I'm going to guess that one is true.
So you think
that's the one I was thinking too.
Okay. That one is true.
Yeah. So Jeff, you have to find the fake one. Two of these are true.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, let's go with the guy lost at sea is fake.
Final answer?
No.
No. Just final answer?
When we ask you if you're sure, that's when you say no.
So, Jeff.
Oh, I got you. I listen a lot. So
I like that not even for a moment did you think that some dude who's hammered ran into three vehicles with a lemur, a wallaby, a couple of tortoises, and some sheep in his vehicle was fake. You're like, not even a question. Absolutely real.
Nope.
Congratulations to you, man.
Glitz. Glamour. Fame. Scandal. Weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
So this could get really awkward. Elon Musk is being ordered to turn over all of his private messages with Amber Heard in Johnny Depp's defamation case. Depp filed a subpoena on Tuesday asking Musk to submit all of his communications with Heard relating to her allegations of physical abuse or domestic violence against the actor. The award-winning actor filed a $50 million lawsuit against his ex-wife in March, alleging that she defamed him by writing in the Washington Post an op-ed that she was a survivor of domestic abuse. In the lawsuit, Depp alleged that Heard was cheating on him with Musk throughout the majority of their marriage. The information listed in the subpoena included conversations, telephone calls, letters, emails, memos, reports, telegraphs, faxes, exhibits, drawings, texts, and other documents which confirm or relate to the written or verbal exchange.
I'm curious if any of these will find their way to the courts because, I mean, I doubt Elon Musk wants his personal business, you know, lumped in with this nasty divorce defamation case.
Can you imagine how awful it would be if you had your text messages, your private text messages with especially your significant other? But if there's something scandalous going on, like she's married to Johnny Depp and hooking up with you and everything else, and then all of that gets put out there, you're like,
I feel like all of them are awful. Amber Heard sucks. Johnny Depp sucks. Elon Musk sucks. It's just a group of unlikable people at this point.
But there's no way that these messages actually see the light of day, right? I mean,
I can't
imagine.
Elon
Musk builds rocket ships that blast into outer space in record time, like, for sure, these messages aren't actually going to come out, right?
I mean,
you wouldn't think.
He doesn't. His company does.
Well, but you know what I mean.
He created PayPal and got hair plugs. That's what Elon Musk did. Thanks.
Tesla, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Boring company. So Jared Leto is upset with Joaquin Phoenix. According to a report, Jared Leto, of course, played the Joker in Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad sucked.
Yeah. He said that he's upset about the whole movie and it being shot from a totally different angle. But like you said, I never saw Suicide Squad. Jared Leto was barely in that movie, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was a convoluted, horribly produced movie that just didn't really fit. DC just does not get anything right besides Batman when Christopher Nolan is directing it, and Jared Leto, they cut most of his stuff out of the movie. There was like 4 or 5 minutes worth of Joker material,
and
in
that's
there.
Why the supposedly that. Jared Leto's upset because there was talks that WB was going to give him another opportunity to take another shot at the character. Jared Leto's actually a really good actor.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I don't know how great he is at the Joker, though.
Yeah, see, I don't know.
It's a stylized Joker, which not my taste personally. I just saw Joker over the weekend, the new Joaquin Phoenix movie. I think Joaquin Phoenix is easily the best person we've ever seen play.
Better than Heath Ledger?
Well, I think he's the best actor out of all of them, but he's not the best Joker because the Joker movie, it wasn't really a comic book movie. It wasn't really an origin story. It's just, if you took any reference to like the Waynes and Gotham City out, it would just be like Taxi Driver kind of, you know, it just felt like a bad homage to Taxi Driver. But Joaquin Phoenix plays a schizophrenic character to a T. I mean, the guy's acting ability is absolutely amazing. I believed him. The story was just bad.
So Kevin Hart is getting back to work after that bad car accident, but he's not rushing into anything intense. He reportedly is going to work to promote Jumanji in a new marketing campaign, which obviously requires his presence, but it's nowhere near 100% yet for Kevin Hart. So he's confirmed to be fulfilling his commitments as best as he can. For example, Kevin did 2 hours of shoots on a set on Monday, another 2 hours on Tuesday. We'll be back for another couple by the end of the week.
It's pretty quick.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm surprised he's even standing. Like, he just had a massive back surgery.
The fact that he's alive is pretty incredible.
Insane. He is sitting through most of the day. So from my understanding, I mean, you know, him doing promotion for these movies, generally they'll invite a whole bunch of press to a certain location, and that's where the stars are, and they just kind of cycle through the press. So I think that's probably what it is, like a couple hours each day.
I mean, yeah, him and The Rock and Jack Black are all going to be in the Jumanji sequel that's coming out. But I feel like that's one of those movies that kind of sells itself. I don't think there's going to be people who didn't see the first Jumanji who are going to go see Jumanji 2. I feel like that it kind of already has a built-in audience, or Jumanji 3, whatever it is now at this point. I feel like it already has kind of a built-in audience, so I'm surprised that he's actually out on tour doing these press obligations. So, you know, obviously hardworking guy who's worked very hard to get to where he wants to be, and impressive this quick to be back out on the road.
And finally, Larry King is getting divorced from Sean King, and they have put their $17 million mansion on the market.
Wow. Larry King's gay?
No, his wife's name is Sean.
Oh.
I also kind of thought the same thing, but...
Wouldn't that be something if Larry King's like, you know what, I've spent 200 years pretending like I was straight.
These suspenders, they can hold up this facade no longer.
I'm gay.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
If you're like 100, why are you getting divorced?
Right?
Like, what better is out there?
Apparently a lot, according to the STDs of yesterday's news.
That's true. Gotta watch yourself, Larry. Wrap it up, man.
Yeah. They still use them sheepskin condoms? No, Larry. I have one made out of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, my God.
Larry.
Where's Nick Cage when we need him?
You steal my rubbers?
The sweet sounds of a laundromat.
Dirty laundry.
So if you're new to Dirty Laundry, it's a pretty simple concept. Ian will go out to laundromats around town, and he'll talk to people that are generally sitting around, bored, doing their laundry, and he asks them to spill their own dirty laundry, reveal it, if you will. Tell us a secret that you've never told anyone else before.
We like for these people to come clean while they're...
doing their laundry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting clean.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
You walk out a new person. Ian has found one particular bar laundromat, and I assume that's where we are again today.
Well, actually, Dave, this is a different laundromat.
Oh.
I need to branch out a little bit.
There
are sometimes I'll be at the bar laundromat, and then I just wind up getting drunk at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't, you know, that's
By
not...
sometimes, do you mean every time you go there?
Not necessarily, but a little more than I want. So Ian's taking a little break from the bar laundromat, but lucky for us, I went to a downtown laundromat and saw this guy. He was there doing some laundry. Now, what really, I don't know. This guy is very interesting because, again, he's got 90 piercings all over his face. He's got scars everywhere. He's about 60
piercings on his face?
Yes, he has about 9 septum piercings. So that's that area right in between your nose here.
You could pierce your septum 9 times?
Yep, he has done that. His eyebrows aren't even eyebrows anymore. They're just spikes. He has them on his forehead. He has piercings in places I didn't even think you could pierce.
I feel like you stopped yourself short of saying what attracted me to this guy was all of the piercings. But
magnets. That's certainly what attracted him to him.
That's
I was actually covered in magnets that day. Yes. So we were meant to be.
Well, hi.
So we got to talking about body modification, and this was just a general conversation. But then he divulged some dirty laundry to me about a new piercing that he did about 8 months ago. And I don't think I could ever do this.
Here's an all-new installment of Dirty Laundry.
Dirty Laundry.
All right, so we're here at the laundromat. Well, we're actually outside the laundromat, and I have encountered somebody. Please, don't be offended by this. You are one of the most interesting-looking people I've ever met in my whole life.
Thank you.
Now, you have piercings everywhere. You have your entire eyebrow completely covered in horns. You have 9 septum piercings. Oh, you have them all down your nose. How long have you been doing this body modification?
Probably about 6 or 7 years now.
What made you start putting holes in your face?
Originally, I just thought it looked cool. Like, when I was in high school, I saw this one kid. kid, and he was the only kid in my high school who had his ears stretched. And I liked it so much, I started stretching my ears because I saw that, and then I started getting piercings, and then next thing I know, I look the way I do.
That's insane. Now, is your pierced?
Yes.
Really?
I do my own piercings as well.
Ah! Wait, did you pierce your own?
Yeah.
Okay, let's break that down a little bit, man. So I've been kicked in the nuts before. I know that's painful, but what'd you have to do to pierce your own?
I just thought it looked cool.
No, but like, what was the process of that? Like, did you get nervous at all?
A little bit, but I was kind of drunk and high when I did it.
Oh, no.
So.
Now, how long ago was that?
About a year now. It's been a year.
Wow. And now, is it fully healed?
Yes.
Now, just one piercing, right?
Yes, just one. It's the in the beginning of a Jacob's ladder.
So you plan on getting more?
Yes.
Are you gonna have somebody else do it?
No.
You're gonna do your own piercings yourself?
Yep.
How
because,
much?
Because I know, like, how quickly to push the needle through and not to, like, torture myself like a regular piercer more than likely would. And so...
But let's not deny, you have so many piercings and you pierce your own. You must have some sort of affinity for pain.
Not necessarily. I like the art form.
So you like the look of it more than the pain?
Yes, yes.
Well, you probably have one cool looking man.
Yes, I do.
Now, how much would you charge me for you to pierce my
I guess about $50 minimum.
Now is everything going to be sterilized, though?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to go get my pierced. Well, thank you very much, sir. Honestly. Oh, my God. You are so cool.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
I really thought Ian was going to ask to see it.
I thought so, too.
Here's the kicker. I did see it.
Oh!
It's not healed. He says it's healed. It's not healed.
Oh, no.
It's not.
Stop stories!
Here's what's making news.
So Madonna has put out, to the tune of $1 million, on a slot machine that is branded Madonna downtown. A Hawaii resident won a jackpot worth just over $931,000 while playing Madonna slot machine game. The game, manufactured by Aristocrat Technologies, is a recent addition to the Main Street floor. The winner, a longtime Boyd Gaming customer, chose to remain anonymous, hit the jackpot a little bit before 6 p.m. on Monday.
Who's playing the Madonna slot full bore, you know, probably $5 a spin at 6 p.m. on a Monday? What are you doing with your life?
This comes... This comes about a month after the guy hit the, who's now a Las Vegas local, $935,000 at Boyd's Aliante Casino while playing the Wheel of Fortune machine. But interestingly, when those big, huge jackpots hit, it's not the casino that has to pay it. It's the manufacturer of the game.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, like you hear somebody hits $1 million at the Cosmopolitan. You're like, oh, boy, that must suck for the Cosmopolitan. It has nothing to do with them.
Really? That's a fun fact. I had no idea.
Yep. That's where they're linked. I mean, like, you look at the Wheel of Fortune one. Those are linked.
The progressives. And that's how they're able to have on megabucks like $15 million that they give out at any given time. But the casinos, and Derek Stevens from the D actually told me this. He said that they're not even allowed to congratulate the people. Like, they walk up because it has to be verified by the gaming company that manufactured the machine to make sure that there's nothing wrong or a glitch or an error, cheating, or any of that stuff. So the people at the casino come up and they go, well, that looks pretty good. Not even allowed to say congratulations until it's verified. And then once it's verified, they're like, oh, would you like a suite? Would you like to stay for the night and perhaps put some of that money back into the other games here in the casino?
Wow. Yeah.
Because there have been, it's interesting that they do that because there have been other instances in the past. I don't know so much here in Las Vegas, but like I remember definitely, what is it, like the casino out of Massachusetts and a couple other random ones that they malfunctioned. They're like, oh, it malfunctioned. It wasn't actually supposed to be the jackpot.
You're like, screw you.
But how do...
Screw you.
Yeah, wait. How can they do that?
I mean, that's what they say. And then, you know, some people fight it, some people don't. And I have a feeling that that's one of the reasons why that these casinos don't congratulate them right now, because it could be used against the other gaming companies down the road.
So major improvements coming to Fremont Street in downtown Las Vegas. Work began on Monday at major improvements on Fremont Street, and they have already scheduled for pavement maintenance this year. But the city saw an opportunity to move forward with some changes they hope will improve pedestrian safety. Besides repaving, sidewalks are also going to be widened. This will require the removal of some of the taxi loading areas and center medians, but removing those medians means The landmark neon signs must be rehabbed, moved, notably the slipper and the glass martini. Other improvements include storm drains, sewer upgrades, street lighting work, improvements to traffic signals, and, of course, some temporary traffic trouble is going to be in the area as a result of that. But I know that you're not going to like this, Ian, and I'm sorry for saying this. I would lobby that getting rid of all of the, quote, street performers would also enhance the area considerably.
I don't think so, Dave, because I know a lot of those street performers, and they're very good people. And just like every community, you get some bad apples.
I'm not saying they're not good people. I'm just saying if you wanted to enhance the area and make it more friendly for everyone to go down there, maybe having a guy wearing the Borat thong all the way up his butt.
Who's 100 years old.
Yeah.
Hey, those guys, they got to make a living too, guys. Let's just remember that.
You can get a job at like a Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
Or the White Castle right there.
Who doesn't love White Castle and Dairy Queen?
Mm.
The project is scheduled to be finished August of 2020.
Did you notice the new, when was the last time you were down on Fremont? Because the new canopy's done, right?
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, just this
pretty
last weekend.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah, I saw some video that was floating around online that people had shot. And like it's gone from looking like a very rudimentary.
Kind of like bootleg.
Yeah.
To now like HD.
Augmented reality, sort of the geo-mapping that you've seen. You know how they'll do it at like NBA games or the Golden Knights games where the entire rink becomes... Yep. Interactive and looks super cool. That's what that canopy looks like now. They did a really nice job.
I like that they're improving Fremont. You know, I think with the I think there's a big market for locals to really move down there and make that their like with all the new restaurants coming down there. Derek Stevens' new
Circa
that's going to be opening. Yeah. What is it, in a couple years? That's going to be opening down there, a new mega resort. And if you're not going to charge for parking, and or if you're not going to gouge us on every little thing, and there's going to be quality restaurants down there as well, and it's
there have been a lot of people that have moved down there.
Yeah,
and then I like to kind of see that revitalization of the whole area. It's pretty cool.
I know Ian doesn't like it, but you know,
I agree with it, but I do like the kind of seedier parts of it.
Yeah,
so. I'm good on that.
I don't know if I'm supposed to know this or not, but the NFL draft is coming here in April of next year, and I found out where it's going to be.
Are you not allowed
to? I don't know if I'm allowed to say, so I'm just going to say it. It's going to be on the Strip, so they're going to block off the Strip, and it's going to be right there, like at Caesar's Palace and in front.
Wow.
So they're going to block that whole area.
Holy cow.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Again, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but whatever. So the whole thing with the draft when they've done it different places, because I've done different draft events over the years. Yep. And like downtown Chicago is pretty cool with like Grant Park, and then they did it in Philadelphia. Same thing, like a park area, but right downtown where they're blocking off large streets. And in this case, the question was whether or not they may do it like down on Fremont Street, like in Nashville. They did it right there on Broadway. And then shut
the
down that whole area.
Sense.
But the Strip makes sense. Like this is the NFL is coming to Vegas. This is a huge deal. Yeah, you block off the Strip for a number of things, but it has to be a huge event like New Year's Eve or something.
Well, don't they block it off for NASCAR?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is this is way bigger than
but
NASCAR.
But this is like a multi-day event, so it's a pretty big deal. But they're going to block it off right there in front of Caesars, and it's going to be a huge to-do. So.
Wow.
I mean, the fact that,
that's
you
exciting.
Know, we're getting the draft next year, and the fact that the new Raider Stadium is going to be open, I'm excited.
As a sports fan of just like a bunch of different sports, the NFL does it really big in some circumstances, and the passion level from fans is like nothing else. Like like you and I followed UFC for years and went to different markets where UFC events were happening. Yep. It's like you would see those fans that were at different events, but like when you go to a different city as like a Vikings fan, like when I go up to Seattle, like the whole week you're seeing people in Vikings gear that are walking around all over town. What other sport does that happen for? It's not like when you go to out of town for a baseball game, you see the opposing team's fans covering the city for the entire
week. Not the whole city. I mean, around the stadium.
Around the stadium, sure.
Sure, but the whole city.
The whole city, So the NFL does it big. They're bringing the draft to town, which is going to be awesome. They're blocking off the Strip, and it's going to be pretty enormous.
When is do you know when that is? Like when?
April.
It's April?
End of April,
Okay, so the weather should be
should be awesome.
Yep. Or it could be 1,000 degrees.
No, not at the end of April.
And, I mean, occasionally there's that like one like 102 degree day in April.
End of May, you'd be flirting with disaster because it seems like the first week.
But it should
June,
be nice.
It should really be nice. So Nevada ranks amongst the booziest brunch states according to some crash statistics. Dang it.
That's how they figure.
Well, they're
drinking the most at brunch.
Yeah, so they actually figure out who's drinking the most at brunch between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. on Sundays. And sure enough, we are number 12 on the list.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
I thought we were
going to
be
number 2.
Yeah, I was honestly expecting higher.
Yeah.
Any guesses as the New Jersey was the least boozy?
That's garbage.
Which is garbage,
that
right?
That is garbage.
The most boozy brunch state? Any guesses?
Can you give me a region, like where it is? Because I feel like I can guess.
Yeah, Northwest.
New York.
That's Northeast.
Oh, you said Northwest?
Like yeah. Seattle?
More Northwest.
What's more Northwest than Seattle?
Alaska.
I was about to say, think
really?
Russia.
Alaska, yeah. Alaska is the
boozy.
Well,
I guess there's nothing else to do.
I mean, I feel like this is kind of a jaded study if they're going, who's the booziest brunch state? There's a bunch of, the driving conditions in Alaska are probably worse than anywhere else in America.
Somebody has one White Claw and just crashes into a moose.
Man, you ever watch Ice Road Truckers?
No. Have you?
Yeah. If you're not familiar with Ice Road Truckers,
you got to get some more hobbies.
You need to watch Ice Road Truckers. Those gentlemen who are and women who are out there driving on the icy roads of America, it will scare the bejesus out of you.
Don't they drive across like frozen lakes and stuff too?
Yeah. That's just nuts, like where you got a tractor trailer. Like, let's just drive across this lake.
Yeah.
And that's how you die. You got an icy death.
All of the fish that somebody also died catching gets spilled all over the icy road. It's a dangerous land up there. I drink a lot too.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Dave, I can see you wearing one of those charcoal face masks at night. You seem like you keep up a perfect complexion.
Message deleted.
Well, you're not entirely wrong. So I bought this face wash one time from, I told myself that I had outgrown the Clearasil that I've been using since I was like 15 years old.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm going to go get some face wash. And I grabbed some face wash from just the grocery store that was like, man's face wash.
It was brown. Was it a brown? Was it a brown bottle?
Black.
A black bottle with a blue head to it. I'm like, this looks manly. And I got it home and I was like, psh! And it was the charcoal stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Yep. It was black. And I'm like,
ugh. Did it dry your face out so bad?
I used it like twice and I was like, you know, I found some other stuff just on Amazon or whatever that just had good reviews. And I don't know if it's any different than anything else, but. What does the actual charcoal mask do? Because I'm not familiar.
I feel
with.
Like that's just another tummy tea, dumb marketing gimmick.
Do you
type
use face
deal.
Masks?
I do, but I can't use charcoal. So without getting into this like extensively, right? So charcoal basically will dry your face out. It's really good for people who have like really oily skin and like acne prone. But for me, I can't ever use that. Like I have like the face of a baby butt. Like I am so sensitive and like you have to lather me up with all kinds of like ointments.
So
I'm so dry.
You're
I'm
an ass face.
Face.
You're an ass face. You're an ass face.
Yes, I'm a walking, talking ass.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey guys, so I heard the story the other day about the kid who lifted up a car. Mahoney said something about being under a car is the worst. Like, I don't know, have any of you guys actually ever like worked on a car? I started doing it when I was 7, and I have to have saved at least $1,000 on oil changes throughout my life.
Message deleted.
Yeah, definitely have worked on cars. You know, back when I was in college, totally broke. Like, if something would go wrong with my car. I one time attempted to change out the entire drivetrain on my Mustang. And
how did that go for you?
Well, I didn't know that, like, if it got stuck that you weren't supposed to beat it with a hammer to, like, loosen it because it's just like this big metal pipe. But as it turns out, if there's a bunch of dents in that, it really affects how the exhaust flows out of the vehicle from there on out. And it made it much, much worse. I wasn't good at working on cars. I was fairly proficient just because I had to be. If my car broke, that just meant that it was broke and there was nothing that I didn't have enough money to fix it.
Yeah.
So, you know, changing out like alternators and batteries and stuff like that. But that was kind of the extent of it. Never learned to change my own oil.
Really? I got my dad showed me how to change my oil when I was like in Boy Scouts. I remember, like, we did it for, like, a merit badge. You got, an oil change merit badge.
Really?
But I have...
You get an extra badge if you go dump it into a river.
Sorry, fish.
Sorry about that.
But as an adult, no, zero chance. Like, I'm not changing my oil. I'm not changing my brakes. Even though everybody's like, it's so easy to do it. I'm like, I don't want to put my own life, you know, like if I die.
When's the last time that you risked? Will you feel his hands? Like the like,
let me see. Like give me those hands, boy.
How soft his hands are?
Oh, they are pretty soft.
Of course they are. He can't risk those beautiful soft. Your,
I think
your
I have more calluses.
Your face and his hands, the softest things on earth.
That's right.
Slightly softer than an actual baby's butt because they get lotion more.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Birds pooping on your car are bad, yeah, but the worst is when a bird goes diarrhea all over your car.
Jesus.
Like that stuff goes all over, and you can see the struggle the bird had with it because you'll have like one small spot and then a huge spot and then some runoff.
Okay.
And it's terrible, and it makes me feel bad for the bird.
Message deleted.
Shut up.
Are you kidding me? How awesome would that be if you were a bird and you could just dive bomb people with diarrhea? I mean, that is kind of my dream now that I think
birds
about
it. Birds are so gross. I hope they all get diarrhea.
Can we just stop talking about bird poop? Just call it a day.
Want to go back to your soft hands?
Yeah, let's talk about how soft my hands are. It's like velvet skin.
Go on.
The last time he got a flat tire, some guy stopped and changed it for him on the side of the road.
I can change my own tire.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
Bull crap, I've changed plenty of tires.
You can't do it. Last time you got a flat, you couldn't do it.
That's not true.
Some guy saw this.
We were on the phone.
This pretty soft little lady in his Tommy Bahama shirt on the side of the road. I'm going to pull over and help this old grandma.
He got a treat.
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Standing on the side of the road with my pant leg pulled up, showing off these calves.
Showing your stockings. Those knee highs.
Like, I'm just going to change your tire. I have kids in the car. This is inappropriate, man. Stop.
I can change.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
How many episodes of Cops have you seen where somebody gets pulled over and the cops sitting there searching them and they find drugs on them and, oh, those aren't my drugs. I was just holding them for somebody else. Or, these aren't even my pants. These are my cousin's pants. I just put them on and the drugs are in them. There was the cocaine that had blown into the car, if you remember that, from a couple of months ago.
I mean, I hate it when the Sharknado or the Coke-nado.
The Coke-nado comes blowing through.
Comes blowing through, and then those baggies just end up in your back seat. You got to come
let's,
up with...
Let's take the difficulty level up a notch
here.
This woman in Louisiana denied ownership of the bag of meth that was found in her very special lady parts.
Her heart?
No, a little south of that. In her Louisiana, if you will. In her Virginia, maybe?
In her Virginia.
During
Virginia is for lovers. Or is that Ohio?
Ohio.
Whatever.
24-year-old Ashley Beth Rowland, who's actually, you know, pretty good looking for a girl who has
Bedhead?
A hoo-ha full of meth.
Yeah, I'm jealous of the meth.
I'm not.
She was arrested in late July after a male acquaintance accused her of stealing more than $6,000 from his apartment in West Monroe. The victim, Eugene Dix.
Okay, Eugene.
All right, Mr. Dix. It's Dr. Dix to you.
I didn't go to Dix College for 48 years to be called Mr.
Told police that she'd been staying at his place for about a week, and she identified him as the boyfriend, and so did the cops in the affidavit. Told cops that she stole the money, and while showering, she fled the scene, and that's when they took her to jail, and they found, yeah, sure enough, that there, and she denied ownership of it, said it wasn't hers, and they're like,
uh-huh.
Really?
She's in the shower. Her instinct isn't just to flush it?
No, he was in the shower when she, and then,
darted.
Okay.
Good old plug and dash.
Turns out that the judge did not buy that it was not hers.
Hmm.
A Florida cop has been suspended after appearing in a Playboy model's video. Officer Bill Beaker, didn't expect to be punished after volunteering to pretend to arrest three Playboy models. Turns out the Miami Beach cop was just staging a fake arrest of three nearly naked models in front of the Miami Beach headquarters. In the video, which has been viewed more than 1.6 million times on the three models' Instagrams, Beaker is seen marching with the handcuffed women up to the police station steps and then playfully thanked for not booking them after they'd been handcuffed as expected. His special cameo did not play well with the city leaders.
Did you see this video, Audrey?
No.
So it's three very attractive models who are just in lingerie out in public, and it's just the cop kind of like walking by them. I love that the news had to like blur out their ass.
Yeah. You're like, come on, guys.
They're wearing a thong.
Yeah.
They're wearing a thong.
They're just butt cheeks. Everyone's got them.
I'm not mad at I mean, the guy, the way the situation unfolded, he saw three women roaming around in lingerie in front of a police station. And he's like, is everything okay here? Is there something I can help you with? And then they kind of like, well, you can help us with this video.
Can you fake arrest us? And he's like, okay.
Well, what did they get more upset with? The fact that they put or they were put in the back of his police car? Like,
no, they weren't even put in the back of his police car. They were like walking into the Miami police station.
The city leaders were, one, jealous. Second, a little upset that they just sort of made a clown of the whole situation, right?
Cop, yeah, they don't want their officers posing with half-naked Playboy models while on the clock.
For the gram.
I hope he doesn't lose his job. Suspend him for a week or a couple days.
He's been with the force for 11 years.
But this is just... He wasn't thinking with the right brain.
They're not firing him as of now, at least. They did suspend him on Tuesday morning, so we'll have to keep you posted on this. But not exactly a huge infraction. More just like, Bill... Stop it.
And the Instagram models who said, you know, who were a part of this, they're like, you know, he didn't do anything wrong. He was a complete gentleman. He was very nice, that sort of thing. But they're like, it was a comedy sketch. I'm like, can we, like, the level for, like, Instagram and YouTube comedians is so, that bar is so low. It's like you dressing up in lingerie and walking into a police station. That is not a comedy sketch.
It's not funny. At all. There's nothing funny about that.
The only thing worse than YouTube pranksters, the one that's slightly above that, are the guys who use their, like, sort of hot girlfriend, but they're always in, like, super low-cut tops, or they're in, like, ass shorts, and all the entire skit focuses around either their boobs or their ass, and it's not funny at all, but it still gets, like, 100,000 views because there's a bunch of horny 13-year-olds who are on YouTube whose parents have a pornography filter on there.
Yeah, it's chicks with a hoo-ha full of meth, YouTube pranksters, and then the guy...
No. The meth, way above that.
No, I meant, like, as far as, like, as we're getting worse, we're scaling up.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, who hasn't had a hoo-ha full of meth before?
Yeah, I mean...
The Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Those who live in a glass house or a meth house? Throw stones?
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So tell us about the time that you fell down. Maybe you really got hurt. Maybe you just got super embarrassed. Doug joining us this morning. What's up, Doug?
Yeah, good morning. I was telling you guys about this time when I had a cowboy hat on when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And I went to this big party out in San Ynez, California. And this girl asked me, she said, Doug, you ever ridden a horse before? She was a cowgirl. She had horses. And I said, yeah, I've ridden horses before. And then she said, how'd you like to ride my horse? I said, all right. So I got in this small corral. She said, go ahead, get on my horse. And then she told me that all I needed to do to get that horse to go was drop the reins. It was a barrel horse, the kind that race around those barrels.
Oh, super.
Professional barrel racer. And I dropped the reins. The horse took out of this little teeny gate, went into a big corral. It turned right immediately, like a 90-degree turn. I started falling off the horse, and I landed. When the horse got right in front of a big sliding glass door window in front of the big house where all the people were, that's where I fell completely off the horse. I still had the reins in my hand, and the horse is looking down at me and going like, what are you doing down there? And everybody was laughing, and it was funny, and my butt did get hurt. But, I mean, my pride got hurt more than anything else.
Yeah, last time I was on a horse, I got bucked off of it, too, and that's why it was the last time I got on a horse. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll still ride, but I don't know if I want to get on a barrel horse.
Probably pass on the barrel horse, right? Yeah. Good stuff, Doug.
You gotta be ready for that one.
Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you, Doug.
I thought that story was going to go somewhere else. He's like, she asked me to ride her horse, and I was like...
You're like, wait a minute, this isn't a euphemism. I actually have to get on the horse. X107.5, good morning. How's it going?
Good morning. How you doing, man?
Good. So what happened?
Good. So my parents were out of town, and let me just pull a quick backstory. I'm Mexican, so if you know anything about Mexican mothers, they're crazy. And so, yeah, my mom, like, threatened me, if you don't get this package from FedEx, I will kill you. All right, Mom, got it. So, of course, the doorbell rings, and I'm in the shower, right? I'm, like, thinking in the back of my head, oh, my God, my mom's like, kill me, because she's literally blowing my phone at the same time. And so I run out of the shower. And mind you, the top stairs of my mom's house is wood. So I run out of the shower, literally naked, like with a towel. I slip from the top part of the wood stairing, landed my back smashed right in the middle part of the landing. I rolled down the rest of the stairs, screaming, "One second, I'll be at the door!" Like literally, like army crawling. My back was bleeding. He's like standing there. He's like, "Are you okay?" And I go, "Just leave the effing package." I go, "Oh."
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So everyone at some point has gone down really hard in their lives, but what about for you? Was it really embarrassing? Was it really painful, or a combination of both? Wes tore my ACL in a social distortion mosh pit. Up until the time I got replaced, everything was out and my knee popped out of place. I just looked like I kept falling down drunk, but no, ACL blown.
It's awful.
Katie said when I was in high school, there was a fire alarm and everyone started running to the steps. I started down the steps along with everyone else at a fast pace and my knee twisted and I fell down the steps and everyone was trampling on top of me because they couldn't see me. I was screaming and held up my hand in the air so they'd stop stepping on me. A big football player I knew saw me laying there, picked me up, carried me down the stairs all the way out of the school. My kneecap was dislocated and it hurt really bad.
Oh, no.
He saw the problem and popped it back into place. The worst pain ever. He sat on the ground holding me until I stopped crying.
Wow. I hope they fell in love and lived happily ever after.
No, he moved on.
Oh. I mean, can you go back if somebody pops your kneecap back in place?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That sounds horrible. God, our bodies are stupid.
So, this
why
one.
Would you do that?
Stephanie stepped on a plastic Mickey Mouse sharp ear into the arch of my foot, and I went down onto the top of a pile of Legos.
Mm-mm.
Your kid hates you. I mean, that is, as far as booby traps go, pretty strong.
Yeah, pretty awful.
Oh, my gosh.
Justin said, when I was 8 or 9 playing soccer, fell hard, got up, started to walk, and tried to raise my arm to wave to a friend and couldn't because my arm was broken. Never heard the end of it. My dad was a medic, and his ambulance was the one that picked me up.
Did you ever break a bone when you were a kid?
I've still never broken a bone.
Never broken a bone?
No. Really? I thought I broke my ankle back in March or whatever it was when I was
you
in
just
Chicago.
Rolled it real
and,
bad.
Yeah, just, yeah. Bad sprain, high ankle sprain, but yeah.
Falling on the sidewalk.
It's icy, man. I was wearing dress shoes. What do you want? Whoop.
That's on you, man. Yeah. That is on you.
I blame Cabernet.
We all do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tripped over a part box at work, went down, did the tuck and roll, and stood up and said, "I'm okay." Isn't it the worst when you're walking and you're trying to, you know, like there's a big group of people around, whether it's in front of a restaurant or whatever, and you trip and then you have to do that little like, I'm going to start jogging. I'm going to start running.
Just play it off.
Yeah.
Like walking down the stairs, like when you slip and like your ankle hits and you hit like 2 stairs in a row, you know, the
yes.
real quick. And you're like, oh, no, I meant to do that.
Catch yourself.
Then you fall on your ass. You bruise your tailbone.
I feel like women have a lot harder than guys. When it comes to footwear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, because, you know, especially if you're out and about on a given night. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're dressed up all Vegas-y, right? You got the little black dress on, the high heels, going out clubbing. And you're definitely drinking your face off, right? How do you not constantly topple over?
You're pulling down the dress and trying to make sure that you're, like, walking normal in heels. Yeah. Because we're not supposed to be walking normal in 4-inch heels.
Right.
It's the worst.
Do you, when you... You know, when you see other women, like, late at night, leaving the bar, leaving the club, who have taken their heels off, do you laugh, or is that our I feel you, sister type moment?
It depends, because we've all been there, but it's so gross. Like, that is, like, if you see somebody walking down the strip without their shoes.
Or through a parking garage.
Or through a parking garage. You've been there, because there are sometimes some shoes you've worn for the first time, and you just actually, you've just tried to make it to a place where nobody can see you anymore, like a parking garage. You know what I mean? And we've all been there, but it's just so gross.
But for, like, if you're going out to a club or whatever, that's what I don't understand. Like, if you're going to a club that's going to be busy and there's a dancing and all that stuff's going on, no dude ever sees your shoes because everybody's packed in together.
What's funny, though, is that half the time we're not dressing for men.
Well, yeah. No, I get that, but like...
we're not dressed necessarily for men to be looking at us,
not
right?
At
like,
all.
That's not the whole point. Like,
but
we want to look good and feel good about ourselves, but we're also like, It's for the gram. We got to post that picture.
Take the picture for the gram and then take the shoes off. Fake the funk on that because, like I said, it's usually not the guys.
For the outfit.
It's not the guys that whenever we're like at a, when we're out seeing the women with the shoes in the hand who are laughing at each other. It's always the women who are laughing at the other women. Traditionally.
Well, yeah, because we've all been there. Our feet have absolutely hurt that bad before.
You're like, I'm a wreck tonight, but I'm not that big of a wreck.
Next time we leave a bar, we should take off our Converse.
We should take off our Chucks and just be
just
walking.
Just walk around.
You're like, that's Dave Mahoney. That's about right.
Yeah, it seems they've had one too many Chardonnays.
Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, so I got called out to do some work at a hospital once, and the room that I had to go to was up on the roof, like the elevator room. And the security dude that I'm with opens the door, and I walk through, and I've got my tool bag in one hand and a heavy piece of equipment in the other. And as soon as I step up through the door, I just fall. And the dude's standing above me looking, and he's like, oh, yeah, there's a 3-foot drop there. It's like, no warning or nothing.
Oh, my God.
I wasn't hurt, but luckily, if I did, I was already out of hospital.
Thank you for the call today, man.
That is the place to take a spill.
Michael said, I passed out from dehydration while riding my ATV and broke two ribs.
Ow.
Like, how hungover were you? Were you pass out mid-ATV ride?
Yeah, drink some
man,
water.
ATVs are dangerous.
Hell yes, sir. Have you ever ridden a three-wheeler?
Oh, no, I won't do that.
Oh, a three. Mm-hmm. Those used to be the thing back in the day. And, I mean, you would take a corner at, like, 3 miles an hour, and that thing's tipping over.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love driving ATVs. It's a lot of fun, but you feel a little too free.
Yeah.
That's how you get hurt.
It's like,
because you're like, oh, yeah, this is cool as hell.
ATVs and snowmobiles. Like, you're ripping through some open field on a snowmobile, and you're like, man, there's a fence post here. I am toast.
Yep.
I am dead. Mary said, in middle school, I walked right into a light pole while walking with friends. It made the loudest gong sound I have ever heard, everyone saw it.
Oh, no.
Boom. Did you guys see the video of the guy who was on the dashboard cam that was mean mugging the dude as he was crossing the street?
Mm-mm. Oh, so yes.
He was jaywalking, and he was walking across the street, and you know how, like, people give the mean mug, and you're like, you're not in the crosswalk, man. Mm-hmm. It's like the guy clearly wasn't trying to run him over or anything.
Yeah, you're just breaking the law.
But he's mean mugging him, and then just as he starts to turn back to walk down the sidewalk, just boom.
Oh, God.
Well-deserved karma.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Literally karma, because the guy's sitting in the car. Yeah.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
The time that you took a really nasty fall. Alan joining us this morning. What's up, man?
Hey, so 2005, President's Day at Dumont. We're sitting around the fire. I wanted to go watch some racing over at the hill. My wife told me don't do it. I was too drunk. And it turned out she was right. I went over there, thought I was tough, and rolled up the hill a few times. Felt like an idiot. Had to go back and tell her the next day because I couldn't even change my own shirt.
So it's been 14 plus years since that incident went down.
Yep.
How often do you hear about it?
She doesn't ever say anything, but I feel it in my shoulder still.
Oh, man.
Well, you got a good wife. You got a good wife, so you got that going for you.
Thanks for the call today, man. Appreciate you.
There's nothing worse than when you are drunk and your wife tells you that you're drunk. You're like, you're too drunk, and you're like, nah, baby, I'm fine.
I'm good. And then you mess up.
You rolled out a sand dune.
Yeah. on your four wheeler. Crystal said, I was partying my ass off in La Jolla and got super drunk with some dudes at the cliffs. I fell about 30 feet off of the side of a wet cliff. I landed on a rocky ledge and broke two ribs. I didn't care. We raged all night. I was a wreck in the morning. What?
That's dangerous as hell. Did you see the video of the woman falling off the waterfall?
Yes.
That's what
terrifying.
I imagine. That, like, because I mean, I've been out to the cliffs in La Jolla, and that is not something you want to be walking around drunk. But like, you cracked two ribs or broke two ribs and still partied.
Good times. Ashley said, "Fell running down the sidewalk that the sprinklers were spraying on. I was trying not to get wet, but I was drunk. Fell and hit my face on some concrete stairs at the apartment.
No.
Instantly, blood everywhere." But I was so drunk I didn't know it, so I walked into the party, blood gushing everywhere, wiped it off some TP, and then had TP stuck to the wetness and dry. I was a hot mess, had a black eye for a week.
Oh, and my still, gosh, these gore stories
and
are
still some dude
me.
Wanted a Mac on you that night. You know he did.
What's up, girl? All right, let me stand on this side.
Could you imagine, like, those, like, why is it? I mean, I get why every apartment step is always made out of like the most like gravelly step, whatever, you know.
Oh, if you like, if your toe, if you put your toe on it, it slips off. It just rips your entire shin.
Oh yeah, it's like sandpaper made out of rocks. Like,
what is wrong with you people, man?
I mean, I get it because for traction, but I can't imagine falling and hitting my face on that.
Oh,
that's actually how Two-Face from the Batman.
That's true.
Sorry, Harvey Dent.
Angela said, fell rollerblading and broke my right wrist. 3 months later, fell rollerblading and broke my left wrist. And just to one-up you, Jason said, I was on crutches with a broken ankle. I tripped over a curb and broke my other ankle.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
That is God just telling you to stay home, my friend.
Clumsy, man. Oh, my gosh.
Ow. Son of a love it. Mother. It's bleeped. Bull.
Daniel is joining us this morning here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. What's up, Daniel? How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. What about yourself?
Doing great. Thank you for asking. How are you with having a dirty mind?
I've got a dirty mind.
All right.
And, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, this game is a little harder if you have a dirty mind. Nothing that's being said in any of these clips is dirty at all, but you have to kind of get past some of the distractions with the bleeps that we've inserted and try to ignore that enough to figure out the context of what's really being talked about here. So all these are just pulled from pop culture and what's going on in the world today, and you're trying to figure out what's being talked about. So I'll play you the audio after I give you the setup, and then after that, I'll give you a multiple choice of what it could be, play you the audio one more time, and then you make your guess. If you get 2 out of 3, you win. Simple enough?
Simple enough.
All right, so the first one here, this is Bob Iger from Disney, and he's talking about a movie that he helped to save. You're trying to figure out what he talked about here.
I said, sure, have him me. And he did. We so much. And then I decided the head of Sony for Tom and for the fans.
So what movie is he talking about saving? Was it A, Joker, B, Spider-Man, or C, Guardians of the Galaxy? One more time.
I said, sure, have him me. And he did. We so much. And then I decided the head of Sony for Tom and for the fans.
So what is he talking about saving? Joker, Spider-Man, or Guardians?
He's talking about Spider-Man.
There you go. 1 for 1. Very nice. That was a pretty easy one, right? Everyone knows that the Spider-Man franchise is back in business.
Thank God.
This is number 2. You can actually win it right here if you get this correct. This is Ja Rule. You're trying to figure out what good old Ja Rule is talking about.
We've been now for like, it seems like 15 years. I am removing my from the. He's a bad.
What?
So, Ja Rule, what is he talking about? A, his feud with 50 Cent, B, his rap career, or C, the Fire Festival?
We've been now for like, it seems like 15 years. I am removing my from the. He's a bad.
The gasps are hilarious.
So, which one do you suppose it is? For the win here, his feud with 50 Cent, his rap career, or the Fire Festival?
Well, I literally have no idea who that rapper is, but it sounds like he's talking about a beef with someone, so I'm going to go with A.
Yeah, that's right, actually.
How do you not know who Ja Rule is?
How do you not know who Ja Rule is?
Come on, man.
Speed ass.
Him and Ashanti had the summer hit of 1999.
Wait, Daniel, how old are you?
31.
So you should know who Ja Rule is.
Come on,
quit trying to be cool. Everybody knows Ja Rule.
Everyone knows Ja Rule, son.
He's going to be on Nightmare in Q Street.
Is he?
Yeah, he's going to play over, was it Orleans?
Yeah.
In Orleans? Yeah, it's our sister station.
No, I know, but.
Bone Thugs going to be there as well.
I mean, Bone Thugs I can get behind, but Ja Rule?
Yeah.
I mean.
You know, 50 Cent once bought, what was it, the first 4 rows of a Ja Rule concert because the tickets were so cheap.
Just left them empty.
Yep.
That's such a boss move.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Nobody can sit there. All right, Daniel, you get set up with the tickets for Dropkick Murphys on Saturday over Brooklyn Bowl. Congratulations. Thank you for playing today.
I appreciate it, man.
Stop stories. Here's what's making news.
So a study claimed that drinking alcohol is bad for men trying to create a baby found that alcohol can actually help, according to new research. So last week, scientists in China published a study claiming that men should abstain from alcohol for 6 months. The research stated that men who drank put the infant at greater risk of CHD, congenital heart defect. And the new report actually casts doubt on the study's findings, argues that the data shows that fathers who drank 3.5 drinks a day actually had a lower risk of fathering children with CHD compared to non-drinkers.
3.5 drinks a day, that's a lot. Every day?
That is a lot every day.
Yeah. I mean, like, you go out on a Friday, you know, you have four drinks. That's fine.
You have four drinks on Friday?
Three.
Really?
Even if you had 12 and that average, you know, that would only be an average of, what, four per day, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah.
But 3.5 a day times 7 days.
That's quite a few.
Yeah, that's quite a bit.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
So 20 bucks or 20 drinks in a given week, right?
Well, no, more than that.
25
like,
almost?
No.
They say that if you have more than 7 drinks in a week, you should start having some self-reflection.
Almost 25 drinks.
Almost 25. That's 24 and a half, yeah. They say what now?
That there is like, if you have ever gone online and like, well, I learned this in a college course, which I've had 7 drinks in a night. So I'm not sitting here like trying to like bash anybody who enjoys and has themselves a good time.
I've had 7 drinks in an hour.
That's what I'm saying. So right? Like, but, what are you talking about? Like textbook, they say
binge
anything
drinking?
More than 7 drinks in a week and you should start having some self-reflection on like your drinking binge consumption.
Huh.
Nah, man. Like I feel like two would be, to me, that's like would be the average if you go 2 a night. If
that's
you're having
like one
more than
dinner,
2
one after
every,
dinner.
Every night, that's fine. But if you go 3.5 every single night, that feels like a lot.
That's a bottle of wine every night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But this study is saying that originally it was that men should stop drinking for 6 months if they're trying to get their wives pregnant. Mm-hmm. And now they're saying, actually, that's all garbage.
When you had your two children, did you stop drinking before you were trying or?
No. Where do you think they came from? What are you talking about? Speaking of drinking. How about this? This is an interesting concept. A St. Louis bar, your old stomping grounds, Mahoney. It's named Open Concept. It charges customers by the hour to enjoy an unlimited number of drinks that vary depending on the price package, which averages $10. At our bar, we don't sell drinks. We sell time, the website states. The bar offers food only on Taco Tuesday and bottomless brunch days, but the owners and customers are free to order delivery at any time. Open Concept's website offers the choice to book a drinking in advance and offers full refund to anyone that misses their appointments.
I the concept's interesting, but I'm looking at what part of St. Louis this is in. Nope.
Rough part of town?
Just outside of Tower Grove Park.
Yeah.
Nope, not where you wanna like be drinking by the hour.
It's probably why they're not open all the time.
Traditionally, that's where you pay for hotel rooms by the hour, not the bars by the hour.
Oh,
yeah.
So a study has found they actually did a study of 7,000 young girls, and they found that obviously being on social media all of the time is really bad for their mental health. Which,
I believe it.
Not a big surprise there. But then there's a further study saying that these girls actually are worse off if they just don't get the correct amount of sleep. Not getting the right amount of sleep and getting less than you should on a daily basis is much harder on your mental health than just being on social media all the time. But I feel like these kind of go together, right? Like you lay down in bed, and the reason why you don't go to sleep right away
is scrolling.
It's because you're on social media for how long is it every night that you're on social media before you fall asleep?
I've actually gotten a lot better about it since starting the show. But before, I mean, I would just scroll for hours until I finally like got so tired that my eyes would close while I was scrolling.
Do you have is your charger right next to your bed?
Oh yeah.
Like, have you thought about moving your charger across the room? Like,
yeah,
so you charge it for the night?
I did, and then my phone was just always dead. I never plugged it up. I got to the point where I would have to like wish my phone would die so I would stop scrolling.
Yeah.
Like, that's sick and disgusting, and it's true. Like, I would always just be scrolling through. Because I'm a meme lord, right? Like, I love finding all of the funny memes.
Yeah.
So I just want to, like, find all of the cute puppy videos and the funny things to send to my friends. And I don't know.
Are you getting
disgusting. I'm a trash bag.
Are you getting more sleep now that you started doing the morning show?
Yeah.
Or are you getting less?
Are you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I was in bed the other day, like, 7:30.
Oh, a woman after Mahoney's own heart. That's how wonderful does that sound?
I mean, my wife's the same thing. My wife's in bed before me most
really?
Nights. Because we wake up at the same time in the morning, which is nice. And I imagine your husband wakes up similar to you because he's also a teacher.
But he's a psycho. He doesn't have to get up like at the same time I do. So he actually gets up before me
in order to prove a point.
And he's like, I'm going to go work out. I'm like, okay.
He's a morning workout.
He actually has the discipline to go work out in the morning.
Yes. And like for not just like a quick like run on the treadmill, like he's gone for an hour and he'll come back, but he really likes his like alone time because whenever I'm home, I'm like, pay attention to me.
So his alone time's
in the morning.
That's funny.
Wow.
I saw actually funny you say that with memes, how dads get so proud that they wake up before everyone else on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're walking around, they're like, well, look who finally got up, lazy bones.
It's 8 a.m.
It's 8 a.m., yeah, dad.
We're on vacation, you jerk.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
One of the best meme accounts for like dads is Middle Class Fancy.
Oh,
have you ever seen it?
Middle Class
Fancy. Oh, you've got to follow.
The dad is really good. Yeah. Putting on my Tommy Bahama and taking your mom to Chili's tonight.
Yes.
You're going to have a sister.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So what exactly is a mouse pad? Like, did they come after the mouse, or did they come out together? Like, are they together, like, romantically?
Message deleted.
I mean, they're certainly in a long-term relationship. I mean, you think about the mouse pad that you have, whether it's on your desk or at home in your office. When's the last time you changed that thing out?
Never.
I think I have a UFC mouse pad that's shaped like an octagon. Well, I know I do. That I've had for, I don't know.
15 years?
15 years, yeah. Probably, yeah.
I've got a mouse pad. My mouse pad at home is one that my wife got us, and so it's like pictures of me and her on it.
Aw, bleh.
Reminds us of all the good times while I'm scrolling through the pornography.
Are we done?
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
All right. Oh my gosh.
Stop stories. Here's what's making news.
So I feel like this study is going to be a little bit skewed, especially with you, Audrey, but curious what do you guys have to say about this? The average American hasn't made a new friend in 5 years.
I don't need no new friends.
I mean, like, long-term, depends on what you call a friend, you know? I mean, some people are very casual with the term friend, and other people are more specific. Like, a friend's somebody I would loan money to.
Oh, I've got all kinds of friends I wouldn't loan money to.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we're not friends.
They're like people I know who I'm cool with, but are they friends? I mean, I know that's a very specific way of defining
things.
Like, I like lots of people, and there's people I hang out with on a pretty regular basis who are very cool and I like, but I would never, ever lend them money.
Hmm. So they're just more like friendly acquaintances?
Kind of, I guess. I don't know. Like, I have, like, there's about five people in my life who I've, you know, guy-wise, who I would loan money to.
You loan money to me?
I've loaned you money in the past.
What? You never loan me money?
Really?
Yeah, hold on. Pump the brakes.
Really?
You loan me money?
Like 10 grand.
Did you?
What? I didn't forget that.
No, I don't remember that.
You're like, let me hold on to that.
Did I pay you back?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I really don't remember that.
I don't remember that.
I don't know, man.
I mean, you were like, whatever. Right. Anyway, but like, there's people like, because the way I look at it is like, even if they're, I have a couple, like, out of those five people, I would say even one or two, I know I might not get the money back, and I would be okay with that.
Wait, you loan me 10 grand, you would have been cool if I didn't pay you
back? No, you're not one of those. You're not one of those.
I don't need no new friends!
But the average American hasn't made a new friend in 5 years. I'm not shocked
not
by
surprising.
It. I mean, when was the last time you made a new... I mean, do you define friendship differently? How do you define friendship?
Yeah, I mean, so, like, Audrey is a friend. Ian is a friend. They're both in my life in the last 5 years, you know? There's people like that. But, I mean, as far as somebody that... You know, I'm going to look back in 20 years from now and go, like, yeah, we're still fast friends. I mean, like, we're working together and we're hanging out every day, which, of course, makes...
There's work friends and then there's, like, out-of-work friends.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, then, and sometimes those intertwine.
It's been a long time since I made a new friend.
This needs to be more specific, like a friend outside of work. Because I don't know when the last time I made a friend outside of work or my wife's work
Yeah.
in... It's been 20 years, damn near.
Probably. So you guys tell me what you think about this. A father reveals that his wife branded him as disgusting, and it's caused this huge firestorm of debate online because he offered to pay his overweight daughter $15 an hour to work out. So the dad was increasingly worried about his daughter's weight and revealed that he offered her money, basically a job, to get in the gym and work out. But his wife thinks the plan is disgusting. And, you know, of course, again, people arguing about this online. He, you know, it's not like a little girl. It's not like he's messing with, you know, like an 11-year-old.
She's an adult going to grad school.
She's 22 years old.
Okay.
And so she's saying, well, I don't have time to work out because I have this job. And he goes, okay, well, how much do you get paid at the job? I'll pay you to work out. So that way work's not an excuse anymore.
I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it, Audrey.
If it's for health concerns, I mean, what other way? Clearly, she's only really, like, motivated by, like, the dollar figure of it, right? Like, mm-hmm. Sometimes you just create excuses. I create excuses for my own self. I am too busy. I cannot find the hour in order for me to go and do
tired.
That. I'm too tired.
Work's involved.
But honestly, if somebody were to be like, here's $15 an hour to go and do this, I'd be like, okay, that pays for my membership. Thank you very much.
That's a lot more appealing. So he didn't want to do the whole I'll pay you per pound lost because he said that could encourage.
That is unhealthy.
That would encourage unhealthy eating
just
habits.
Just go in and just create a healthy, like a healthier lifestyle.
And he said it's on the honor system, so it's not like she's sitting here having to track everything and it's like boot camp. It's just, you know, she just says, hey, I worked out for this many hours this week, and he goes, here's money for it.
I'm not mad at this. I think this is a guy who's concerned about the well-being of his daughter and wants her to live her best life, and I think that's what most parents want from their children. I think we live in a world right now where we are people dance on eggshells about obesity. Obesity is the largest killer in America. Heart disease kills more people than anybody else in America, and we don't want to talk about it because it hurts people's feelings. I'm a fat guy. I know I'm not healthy right now. I know I should be in much better shape, and I'm not afraid to talk about the fact that, like, I should be healthier, and I don't think the fact that I'm fatter or whatever, I'm comfortable in my own skin. Like, I'm just lazy. That's why I'm comfortable in my own skin, because I don't want to put in the work right now.
Well, the comfortability of it all is why we fall into those habits,
yeah,
right?
So, and like I said, it also helps that, like, you know, my wife thinks, you
digs
know,
fat guys in Tommy Bahama shirts?
Yeah, she digs that. Like, if she didn't, let me tell you, I would probably be on the other end of that spectrum right now. I don't know. I don't think it's wrong for somebody to want their children, especially adult children,
to be healthy
yeah,
at all. And I think he's not saying you're a fat pig, you should go get in the gym. He's saying, like, he's doing it the right way. Like, you don't have to be mean about talking about obesity, but it's not.
Yeah, he's not trying to get her to look a certain way because that's what he wants or has an image of her. Like, if she's unhealthy and he's encouraging her to be healthy, who else is going to offer you that?
No,
nobody.
Well, and even to the flip side, I kind of said this a minute ago, but parents buy gym memberships for their kids all the time. They buy it for them, like, for the monthly, especially whenever you're in college. Those things are expensive.
It's not
so
just
really
parents.
And truly, what is the difference?
Companies do that for their employees
for their
because
employees,
their employees
the
are healthy.
Because it lowers our health care cost.
Yep.
That's why they do it.
Yeah.
Like, there's plenty of reasons on that.
And if you're in shape, generally you're more productive and all of those things.
You're
more
alert. Better. Your mental health is usually better. Yeah, there's a whole slew of things that go into being healthy and living a healthier life.
I don't think that, you know, I don't think people need to be shamed
but also
for being overweight. But I feel
let's
like,
not
but
act
we
like we're preaching from the top of the mountain here. Like, all of us could certainly be healthier. Right?
I can lose 50 pounds tomorrow.
I need to. A couple of things to make me feel a little healthier from a birthday yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah.
Like what?
Oh, God. So I just need to start drinking more water, right? So I was like,
is that where you got that fancy new water bottle?
Yes, yeah, so it's like a diffuser, infuser of like blah, blah, blah. Like, exactly. In my water.
All right.
So I was just like, there we go. That's my step towards health. Hashtag.
Nice. So a family on vacation in South Carolina found more than $500,000 worth of cocaine on the beach.
Well, there goes my 50 pounds.
So
if I get 50 pounds of cocaine, will I lose 50 pounds also?
A man walking with his family on Fripp Island spotted an unknown object floating in the water, went and grabbed it. Authorities say the man discovered 20 bricks of cocaine, called the cops. $600,000 is the street value on that. Be honest. What would you do if you found 20 bricks of cocaine? Would you call the cops immediately, or would you be like, man, I know this is worth like $500,000.
I wouldn't know where to start. Where do you hustle? Where do you start pushing that?
I would hide one.
Just for one?
You're like, I found 19 bricks of cocaine.
I'm not going to sell it because, I mean, like, where am I going to go sell, you know, like that, and it's illegal, but... You know,
and
like,
it's illegal.
For party reasons.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Why not?
Weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.
Like I got a bottle of 20-year-old scotch. This is a 20-year-old brick of cocaine. For when the time is right.
When is the time right?
I don't know.
Every Tuesday.
3 a.m.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Here's today's question for another show.
It's Know the Show with Dave and Mahoney.
My dad showed me how to. I was like, in Boy Scouts. I remember like we did it for like a merit badge. You got like a merit badge. Oh, boy.
Mahoney got a merit badge for something he learned how to do in Boy Scouts exceptionally well.
Thanks,
hasn't
guys.
Done a lot since. It was more of a childhood activity for him. What was that? 702-791-1075. That was the biggest yawn I've ever seen anyone take in my entire life.
I need a little bit more coffee.
Yeah.
Slow-mo. Sorry, I was trying to do it behind the computer so you couldn't see it.
Have you ever seen the video of the sloth yawning?
Yes.
It looked like that.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
No, I mean, not in a bad way. Just very slow, the entire process. It was a buildup. It looked like it was going to be a sneeze. It ended up being a yawn.
I just need to get this changed on me as well so that I can... be ready for later.
Be honest, Dave. How often do you fart and sneeze at the same time?
What?
A snart is like what I like.
A snart?
What?
You don't have that happen to you?
No. You've never.
I mean, maybe, but I've never like documented it as like I knew that that's what that was.
No, Mahoney documents it every time it happens to him. He'll fly a flare from his house to let me know in the distance.
I have snotted.
It happens, man. It happens to the best of us. One, because you cannot control a sneeze.
Ye
like,
Lord Snot is upon us again.
You can control your bowels where those are going. But when the sneeze comes, like your whole body hits like the reset button.
Boop, yeah.
No, you just got clenched a little harder, dude. Like what?
That's how your eyes shoot out of your brain.
I'd rather lose an eye than snort.
Real highbrow stuff today on the show.
X107.5, good morning. What's your name?
My name's Megan.
Megan, what is the correct answer? Mahoney learned how to do what in Boy Scouts?
He learned how to change his oil.
That's right.
And whittle wood. Gonna ever keep you down. I love the whittle. Had a big old wood walking stick.
Mm-hmm.
I used to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Pretended it was a bow from Ninja Turtles.
How far did you get in Boy Scouts? Curious.
I was a Boy Scout. And then, like, I did that for, like, a year. Then I quit. So I never made it to, like, Heart or, Eagle Scout or anything like that. But I did all the Cub Scout stuff and then made it into Boy Scouts. And then, like, right around that time, I started, checking out chicks.
And you're like, wait a minute. This is just a bunch of dudes and one creepy old guy that follows us around.
We're going to share a tent together? No, thank you.
I'm going to pass.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.